One of my abiding memories of our children growing up, our four children growing up, will be the school bags and the shoes in the hall. When they got in from school, it was just chucked. It didn't care where it landed. And the boys in particular were just heading straight for the kitchen and for as much food as they could get. They were so glad to get in. And I think we can all identify with that feeling of getting in and getting home. We were had a lovely family day yesterday at my nephew's wedding. And excellent food, wonderful day, but there was nothing like that cup of tea that we had together last night when we got in about 11:30. Isn't there something really good about getting home and getting the shoes kicked off and that wee cup of tea? I still love to see shoes in the hall because the children are all grown up now and not often around. But I still love to see those shoes in the hall, and they're now belonging to our eight grandchildren. And also, any of you who have a Canadian link or tradition, you know that their tradition is they take their shoes off. And all I can think of is, oh my goodness, the dirt of their socks are going to be the dirt of my floor. And but shoes off the door. And as I mentioned to the children, we've just come to the end of our fifth year of hosting a team of 18. This year there were nine 18-year-olds. The number varies from year to year, but we have had a very encouraging, blessed time. It's been manic and hectic, but they pack a lot in. They stay with us for 2 weeks in Friendship House and take part in the programmes there, and then they relocate to Carrickfergus, where we are living now, and they took part in organisations within the church, took part in the church service, and then they were in doing outreach in schools, taking RE classes and assemblies throughout the week. They also take in some cross-community cultural things. They go out to West Belfast, an organisation called Youth Initiatives is doing a tremendous work out in Twinbrook and Poleglass. So it's really interesting for us because every year we look at our own situation through their eyes, through fresh eyes, and we are reminded of the strengths that we have in our society, but very forcibly reminded as well of the weaknesses. One girl got quite upset. She said, I just didn't realise that there were actual physical walls of division, because the bus tour takes them round, you know, the peace walls. And I was surprised even that some of my own family have never been to any of the walls. And those walls are there, and almost everybody just takes them for granted. But they are walls of division. And their prayer, and we were touched by this, that those walls would come down. And it highlights just the division that is still there. But anyway, when they come to Carrick, the bags and the shoes are chucked in the hall. And I love it. Because to me it means family. It means life. It's not just Harry and I rattling round like Darby and Joan in the house now. And if you haven't gathered already, I love this year's PW theme, because it means life. I was at the September conference, and it was called How Beautiful Are the Feet. And I know that there's lots of effort and planning went into the programme pack organised at head office, as it were, and that is appreciated. I also know that lots of groups have been really creative in following the theme and thinking about how best they can get that message across, that we are to be ambassadors, we are to be servants of God, going to the places that he calls us to go to. I was listening to the morning service on the way here, and the minister has a spot each Sunday, and it's called Where is My Front Line? And he has somebody each week interviewed, just literally for a couple of minutes, and they tell where their front line is. Because he is were actually getting people to think about how important it is that they are effective witnesses in the workplace. So it was actually a student, his front line is Queen's University, and he talked a little bit about his faith and what challenges he faces, and then the minister prayed for the person. So whatever your front line is this morning, where will you be tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, or whatever you are doing, if it's in your home or just in your local neighbourhood, God will be with you. He will be actually expecting you to still be living that life worthy of your calling in Him. So I've been, I wouldn't even know where to start my story, but I felt a very clear sense of God's call to become a deaconess in my late teens and went off to Edinburgh and trained there for 2 years in St. Combs College. And I worked for a few years, and then Harry and I got married and children came along, and it was good and right that I would be at home with the family. Never did I dream for one minute that God would call me back into full-time service. I never looked for it or yearned after it. I was happy to support Harry in the various ministries and places that he found himself led to by God. But in the year 2000, I often say the millennium hit me with a bang, because I returned to full-time work, and I was appointed to a congregation in Kilcooley Presbyterian Church in Bangor, and that was my first real front line, as it were, experience of getting out there, getting alongside people, because that was a staunchly Protestant housing estate on the outskirts of Bangor, and had a very bad name. We lived 6 minutes from it by car, had a very bad name, and I believed what I read and what I heard about the people there. But of course it was generalising, and I went there with preconceived ideas. I went there nervous. People were nervous for me. Oh my goodness, how are you going to manage that? What? You're taking your car in there? Seriously, these were the sorts of things that were said to me. And I thought, I definitely had to lean on God in a whole new way, because I wasn't able to be behind Harry anymore. I was now out there, as it were, on the front line in my own situation. I was nervous. I was scared stiff. But you know what? God led me on a journey that I will never, ever forget. And that was a journey of discovery. Because when I got to know individuals behind the headlines, I was humbled and brought to ground very, very forcibly. And God taught me very early on that I had absolutely no right to be critical or judgmental. I've been very blessed with a strong family upbringing, strong marriage, strong family unit. I don't know what I would have done in the times in my life when things haven't gone well, or the ups and downs and the things that come our way. I do not know, as I say, where I would be. Because I discovered that the single mums that I would have been critical of were far better budgeters than I was then, or even now will be, ever be. They had to watch, scrimp and save on a weekly basis, every penny. And so I was there for 5 years. We opened a community drop-in centre, and what an adventure with God that was. And I had to trust Him every step of the way. And He, as I said, humbled me on many, many occasions. I then spent a couple of years in Ballyhome Presbyterian. But I have to say my heart was still very much with social outreach and getting alongside people, meeting them where they're at. And then the opportunity in 2007 came for me to go there. So this year I'll be there almost 8 years in June, and it's hard to believe. Time passes so quickly. Now, how do I relate what I'm doing to the PW theme? Well, let's just think back to that word that we were thinking about. We were thinking of feet, we were thinking of shoes, and I'm sure if I asked you the first word that you would associate with, I would get a variety of words. But I'm sure one would be walking with someone. Isn't there something close and intimate about walking with someone? God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden until they sinned, and then he walked no more. But God, being God, couldn't bring himself to give up on the walking. And before long, we find him walking with Enoch, walking with Noah, and according to Moses, walking in the midst of his people as long as they stayed faithful to him. And of course, like father, like son, for what Jesus did more than anything else was to walk. He walked to be with people. He walked alongside people. Take the first few months of his ministry. St. Luke sets him out like this. He was in Nazareth, Judea, Nazareth, Capernaum, Judea, Lake Galilee, Capernaum, and Nain. Not less than 750 miles walked in the first few months. And in his ministry here on earth, Jesus literally walked thousands of miles alongside people, comforting them, encouraging them, instructing them. But maybe above all, just by being with them, his presence making the difference, whatever they had come through, whatever they were facing. Because I don't need to remind you of the stories of who Jesus spent time with. And I often think about where Jesus would be if he came back today and walked among us. Where would he be? Now, I know in Friendship House and all that we are trying to do there, he is walking with us as a staff. He walks with us on a daily basis. And we pray regularly for that reminder that God goes before us. And we pray that he will prepare the hearts of the people that we meet. He walks alongside the grandmother who is constantly being harassed by her drug-addicted grandson for money to keep his habit growing. He walks alongside the grandson who through bad influences and bad choices became addicted to drugs and alcohol. Don't underestimate addiction. It's a very popular, familiar word. But I know and have met people who are absolutely gripped by addiction. It's a dreadful place to be. He walks alongside the 12-year-old who has been suspended from school for carrying a hammer and knife in her school bag. And when I asked her why, she said it was to protect her. He walks alongside us as we try to support this group of girls who are now 14, 15. But I find it very hard still to get my head around that the girls are the ones that would be even more aggressive than the boys. He walks alongside the two of our teenage girls, one aged 14 and one 15, who both gave birth just about a month ago. He walks alongside the homeless guy who had a complete mental breakdown during his medical degree at uni. He walks alongside the other homeless men from every profession and background you can imagine who have lost everything through addiction, whether it's to gambling, drugs, or alcohol. There is no stereotype. Homelessness is a very complex thing. But again, when you get to know the individual behind the headlines, and for us, as I said, we see through our team of Canadians, we see through things a little bit differently. But anybody who comes and volunteers with the breakfast on a Tuesday morning and on a Monday morning in the City Mission, they can't get over how nice the men are. And that's what it is. They are good men. But life has gone drastically wrong for some of them, and they haven't had support. Families, yes, of course, it's much more complex than that. But when you hear their story, it is heartbreaking. Individuals who, for whatever reason, life has gone wrong. We needed a little bit of extra help when we were serving their Christmas dinner. And three of the people who came were so touched by that experience, they spoke to me for quite a while afterwards. And again, one of the comments, I can't get over how nice those men are. They absolutely, to every one of them, thanked us so much for that dinner. And in our stereotype, I think we would think that they take it for granted, any help that they get, or don't really appreciate it. Their thanks is just heartfelt, and they appreciate it so much. Thanks to the generosity of PW groups and churches and individuals like yourselves, we're able to give them a bag of groceries. We're able to give them a wee bit extra at Christmas for over that Christmas New Year period. And then we were also able to give them toiletries and hats and gloves and things like that. I remember one PW member saying, I suppose maybe they don't need socks, they'll probably get a lot of socks. And I said, no. Lots of your men folk, yes, they get lots of socks, but these men don't. So we try and put in a few pairs of socks as well. Our local baker has a real heart for the homeless. He is now providing us with the bread that we need. He said, Jenny, don't be buying any more bread. And I am just in awe of God's generosity through his people. That man went out every Tuesday night for 5 Tuesday nights before Christmas. And he took flasks, and he took clothes and duvets and blankets to the men out in the streets. The staff, our staff, and he had chatted about what we could do. We were going to do a meal, but we realized that actually we needed to go out to them. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go because of the activities in Friendship House and what was going on. But we were able to provide him with some extra things. And the thing that he said they could do time and time again, the thing that he needed a lot of was socks. And I just began to think, my goodness, isn't it just when your feet are cold, it's a bit like the other end of your body when your head's cold and your feet are cold. And I just thought of these poor men lying out on the streets. And he had been terribly moved the year before because he saw a homeless guy lying in the street on Christmas Eve. And he went back to his shop to get some food. And when he went back, the man was away. And that stayed with him. So God plants seeds. He gives us little insights, experiences. He encourages when we meet people to be open to what he is saying and what we can do. We can be critical and judgmental of folks, as I say, about addictions to gambling, drugs, alcohol, and other addictions as well. We have had men from the top of their profession in tears and thanking just us for a kindness shown. And I don't say that to bring any glory to what I or any of our staff are doing. It is entirely of God, and I don't say that glibly. God provides and is teaching. He provides the opportunity. We don't ask. There's no conditions, no criteria for those men to come. We just offer them food and a place to spend some time. And even just last week, one said, it is just so good to sit round a table and talk about things. Talk about mainly football. Laura, who Frieda kindly prayed for. Laura came in one day, there's just so much football I can take. So that's why we pray for male volunteers to come along and get alongside those guys. And we're really glad of being on our full-time staff. Honestly, I could just go on telling you about, you know, personal experiences, but enough to say that those men appreciate just a place to go, have a bite of food, and they just appreciate the friendship, because they experience in their lives, it's rejection after rejection after rejection. As I mentioned about the guys, but of course, it applies to most of the older, I mean, the teens are now being drawn into things that we would much prefer that they weren't being drawn into. And our Youth Alpha program is just such an encouragement. I have a team of 12 to 15 leaders who rotate and lead that, and they are developing a mentoring program. So I'd really appreciate that you would remember that in your prayers. We need to be getting closer and even more alongside these young people. But look at the increase of gambling online. It's very, very easy. People have their phones. Oh my goodness, it is just so, so easy. The internet is so accessible. And it is so easy for the mum at home to be conned, thinking that all our problems are going to be solved by these payday loans. And thankfully, something has been done at a government level to try and get those in check. But even worse, there's opportunity to get loans from loan sharks. And I meet people every day who are they've got into difficulties. I remember a girl in Bangor, and she was having to leave the area because he wouldn't even tell her how much she owed. He just kept adding on these chunks of money. So she left, and I was so distressed, and she was distressed, but there was nothing else for her. So I'm meeting people every day through my work who are poor through their circumstances, poor socially, economically, and what is even more heartbreaking is that they are poor in spirit. They feel so bad about themselves because of what they've done or what has happened to them. They've made mistakes. They've made bad choices. But who of us hasn't? Who of us hasn't? For many, it is simply being looked down on because of their address. And it saddens me greatly that people can be treated as second-class citizens because of their address. And even worse, if they have no address. And what is more troubling of all, that many people in our society today are not only ostracized by society, but also by Christian people. And I do speak with authority in this subject, because I have mentioned already that I had preconceived ideas about what the people were like if they lived in a socially deprived area. I tarred everyone with the one brush. But God is leading me on a painful, humbling journey of experiences, both personally and in my work, because as I've said already too, as I get to know the individuals behind the headlines and behind closed doors or none, I have discovered so many wrong, critical, judgmental attitudes, some I didn't even know I had. Because at the end of the day, God has shown me, and I pray that he will continue to show you, it is our heart attitude that is vitally important to Christian service. It is our heart attitude. And I have proved yet again, time and time again, that it is when we are at our weakest and most vulnerable that God can use us and move his work on. We read our Bibles, but how often do we read them really yearning for it to have a life-changing impact on our lives? And we know the trouble that Jesus got into when he tried to help the, you remember the church officials? The trouble that he got into because of who he wanted to spend time with and help. If you have time, take time and remind yourself, flick through the Gospels and flick through those stories of who Jesus helped. We would be horrified. We would be horrified. So, as I've said, I I'm amazed on the journey that God has led me, and I just pray this morning that something of what I have said will just touch your hearts and understand, because there are things for you to do in this community. I know there are folks who are lonely. I remember one time being really concerned about evangelism, and even when I was training, I was scared of evangelism. I didn't like street work. I didn't like to go out and tell people about God. And what silly nonsense was that? But God is just asking us to get alongside people. And he does present us with the folks in any given day, because he asks us only to take a day at a time. And I remember when I was working in Bangor, a friend saying to me, "Do not underestimate the importance of a simple hello in terms of evangelism. It doesn't have to be a scary thing. It's a simple hello." And that can be transforming to somebody's day if they're feeling lonely or a bit isolated, because it can lead on to a conversation. It can lead on to a cup of tea together. It can lead on to great things. It can lead on to an opportunity of sharing Christ, of sharing God. My prayer is that you will know and be sure of what God is saying to you this morning. I want us to close with reading a poem, and it's called "The Neighbours Next Door." "What, go to my neighbour? You've got to be joking. That woman's a menace, an absolute bore. And me being so poorly, you'd need all your patience if you had the neighbour I'm stuck with next door. And the people behind us, they really are the limit. Their taste is appalling, their speech I deplore. I know they're lonely, I think they've got troubles, but you can't get involved when you're living next door. I do think of others, I pray for the lonely, I pray for the sick and the sad and the poor. I always turn out for the missionary meetings, but I just can't get on with the people next door. And suppose they got converted and wanted to join us for worship and more. Just think of the awkwardness and of the problems and what they'd expect of us living next door. When I get to heaven, there's bound to be someone who read the good news on some distant shore through the money I sent them so they could have Bibles. Just fancy, they don't even own one, those living next door. But perhaps when the roll is finished up yonder and the harvest is gathered on heaven's bright shore, when the Master has gathered the host of the ransomed, perhaps he'll turn round and address you once more. And maybe he'll say, 'Yes, they're here in their millions, from cities and jungles, from earth's farthest shore. The heathen have come and the outcasts and children. But where are the people I gave you next door?'" Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts yearn for your love to permeate every aspect of our lives and to show that love to others. We've been thinking a lot about walking together this morning, but in truth, it's not everybody that we want to walk with. It's not everybody that we want to get alongside. It's not everybody that we just like. But Father, you are saying to us this morning that we must open our hearts to those, even within our own families, where there are breakdowns in relationships. Lord, that within our church community, within our own community, Lord, you are saying to us, watch out for the neighbour next door. Watch out for the lonely. Watch out for those who are struggling. And show us compassion. Show us your love, that we may show that. Help us to never miss an opportunity to share your great love. And that could be done in many practical ways. Father, we pray for your rich blessing on this fellowship here in Dromara and for the impact that they are already on this community. Encourage them and just bless them, Lord, as they be a witness and a beacon here in this place. So, Father, continue with us now in Jesus' most precious holy name. Amen. We're going to close by singing together the words of Come, People of the Risen King. Let's pray. Go tell the world this good news that God loves you and calls you to walk in love. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.